Welcome everybody, this is the Office 365 Developer Patterns and Practices webcast, and this time we wanted to talk about on a slightly different topic. So this is not really about technology or individual details on doing something. We wanted to actually have a session around how to get started using the Office Dev PnP, because this is a relatively typical question for those who haven't found the PnP until today. So this will be highly helpful for us also to reference in the internet as a video, as a location, which will explain what the PnP is all about. With me, so my name is Vesa Juvonen. I'm a Senior Program Manager in Office 365 Engineering. And with me, I have Erwin Van Hoonen from the PnP core team. Erwin, will you do the intros?
Hi, Vesa. I'm Erwin Van Hoonen. I'm a product owner for Rancor. That's the company behind the SBCAF product. And within Rancor, I'm actually responsible for transformation tooling, something that is upcoming in the coming time.
Yep, and obviously the transformation has been one of the fundamental pieces. Transforming the SharePoint farm solutions to the add-ins has been one of the fundamental pieces within the PnP from day one, even though right now we're expanding to other areas as well. But Erwin has been one of the PnP core team members for more than a year, or you were the first one actually outside of Microsoft to
I was end of 2014.
That's true. It's almost, well, the time flies when we're having fun. And today, Erwin is going to be my interactive buddy, so to say. So we will have a discussion around the topics and slides. And Erwin is going to ask those questions what the audience could be might be asking if this would be a live session. That's pretty much typical setup for the PnP webcasts. So let's get actually started. First of all, just to clarify what the PnP is all about, it's really the fundamental thinking is that we want to share. We want to share people to have code samples, guidance, and learnings together with the community. And Erwin is an excellent example of that. Erwin is an external, not a Microsoft employee. And that's really the fundamental piece of PnP is that this is not Microsoft telling the customers and partners how to do certain things. No, this is we together as a community, internals and externals, telling and learning together and sharing our learnings between each other. And that's really the fundamental, let's say, difference of the PnP for the many of the communication channels what Microsoft is having. Obviously, the SharePoint has been the fundamental starting point for the PnP, but we are absolutely expanding on the Microsoft Craft side because that's where the SharePoint Online and Office 365 is heading, Office 365 APIs in general. Remote provisioning, the PnP provisioning engine, absolutely big piece of PnP deliverables, the core component and all of that. We're going to talk about that one slightly later today as well. And then we're investing more and more out our own time also on the client side development practices because that's a growing theme in the SharePoint side as well. The one page landing page is AKMS Office Dev PnP, and we do actually have two public references as well. So Blue Meteor is a one example of an ISV or a system integrator who pretty early on actually adapted the thinking and practices what the PnP is doing. And they build a reusable modular intranet offering on top of the for Office 365. And that's going extremely well. And then there's a nice public use case on it. And Volvo Cars, to be precise, because there's a Volvo Group and there's a Volvo Cars, and they both actually have the same logo. But it's Volvo Cars, in this case, is one of the public references as well. And there's a nice story of them transforming from the farm solutions to the adding model available as well. We can actually put them on the description of this video. So what are we going to actually talk about today is really around the fact that what is Office Dev PnP? What's available? What are the resources? How can you find the PnP? Or we're trying to answer to that question, how do I install PnP? Because funny enough, we're getting that question every now and then. How do I install the PnP to my Office 365 tenant? Well, the answer is you don't, because the PnP isn't really one thing. It's a set of code samples, solutions, guidance, and all of that. You might install some of the solutions and samples to your Office 365 tenant, but you don't explicitly install PnP, because Patterns and Practices Initiative is just a community program. So we're going to go through the resources. We're going to talk about slightly on the supportability of PNP. So what does it, how is the PNP supported and the solutions within the PNP supported? And then a final topic will be how and why to contribute or get more closely involved. So what would be, how can you do that? And also why would you want to do that? So from a community perspective. So let's get actually started on the what is the Office Dev PNP. One of the things, by the way, this is I'm doing this personally all the time as well, and I tend to always drift slightly on my presentations as well. But we're using Office 365 Dev PNP or Office Dev PNP. So don't get confused on that one. We also started using SharePoint PNP. It's all packaged into the same thinking. It's patterns and practices which we build together with the community for the others.
I was wondering, Professor, sorry for interrupting you, but I was wondering, is there any relationship between the PNP, and I know that a couple of years ago there was another PNP effort or initiative. Is there a relationship between those two? Because you could actually at that time you could download a library and do things with it also.
Excellent point, which we almost forgot to cover, and absolutely one of the things what people are asking. So this technically, there has been quite a few patterns and practices. There's the official .NET patterns and practices organization, which is coming up stuff like enterprise libraries and how to do development within the right patterns within the Azure. The Office Dev PNP is not actually linked on that one. So we're not actually part of that PNP, official .NET PNP organization, which haven't been, by the way, really active lately. And to be honest, I don't know where they are and is it still active. Then on the SharePoint side, we used to have SharePoint patterns and practices. There was a big effort done in the SharePoint 2007 and SharePoint 2010 on the patterns and practices. And that was more around really, how would I put it? It's how to do academically right way of implementing customizations on top of SharePoint. There was a lot of value. There was absolutely a lot of value on that work. There was multiple MVPs. I was closely involved personally as well on those efforts. But the problem was that, and that's the feedback what we've been getting from the customer on that effort as well. It was complicated. It was really hard to get started. It wasn't really matching, let's say, the basic needs and typical customization stories, because it was such a high-end, high-quality, this is how things should be actually done statement. And Erwin, based on your expertise or feeling as well, we didn't see that much people actually adapting that PNP, right?
No, that's correct. Yeah.
And with this new PNP, which we started, well, depending on how do we count the years, but 2 years ago, 2.5 years ago internally, this is really more around helping people to understand, giving them simplistic samples as well, stepping stones. How would I actually go to Office 365? Or how would I implement SharePoint add-ins in on-premises? Or how would I do simplistic stuff using Microsoft Graph? And then on top of that, we'll provide reusable components, which are much more complex than that. But it's more around helping the community to learn, and that's really the fundamental piece. And so let's actually move on the thing. So it's actually a good segue to this following slide as well. The sharing is caring is our essentially in quotes motto, and we wanna actually think about this as a program and an initiative where we want to solve the fact that why we as a community keep on reinventing the wheel again and again and again. What if we would actually share our learnings between each other and build on top of the community knowledge? And I do know that for some people might feel like, no, but that's my value. I have this superbly big technical knowledge in my head and I don't want to share that. And that's fine. Then you don't want to take part of the community sharing, and absolutely acceptable. But then at the same time, the fundamental thinking of PNP is that what if I'm sharing and the other people are sharing, I can learn from them. And therefore, we can actually learn between each other and we can build together on top of that common knowledge. And that's really the fundamental thinking. Almost sounds like a naive comment, but or naive thinking, but I think there's a lot of value on sharing the learnings between each other. And if we think about the key resources on the BNP, this is just one of the classical slides what we prepared for the BNP, which is listing all of the different things. And this is also actually showing why there isn't the one thing called BNP. So we do have a videos and webcasts like this one released in the channel 9, and that's AKMS Office Dev BNP videos. We do have a separate section in the MSDN for Office Dev BNP topics, which, by the way, the popularity of that section is really growing fast. We've been slightly amazed on seeing the latest numbers. And that's AKMS Office Dev BNP MSDN.
Sorry, I'm interrupting
absolutely,
you again.
Absolutely.
Does that mean that the BNP initiative provides documents for MSDN or articles for MSDN?
Well, kind of. Let's put it this way. So the MSDN guidance have been built in the way that we started creating guidance and learnings in the BNP based on the work what we did with enterprise customers. And then quite fast we realized that, well, the MSDN content at the time was only concentrating on technical nuances. You can do X and Y and Z using this API. It didn't actually explain the practices. It didn't explain why would you do something, or what would be the easiest way to achieve a certain business case. And then there was we started thinking that, okay, it makes more sense to get these learnings documented in MSDN as well, because MSDN is then official guidance as well. And that's why the BNP MSDN note was created, and there's quite a lot of actually content there nowadays. And I hopefully answered your question, Erwin.
Yeah.
And then we do have a Yammer group, which is growing relatively fast, AKMS Office Dev BNP Yammer. We have a Twitter account, which haven't been super active of using that. And there's a small challenges in Twitter of sharing a one account across multiple team members. So we're trying to fix that one in the future. We do have a monthly community call, AKMS Office Dev BNP call. You can download an ICS invite. And in the monthly calls, we'll always explain what has happened for the previous month. And then we will have typically 2 to 3 demos from the contributions. In the GitHub site, there's right now 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, or 8. Slightly depends, and we might be actually missing something from that list as well. Yes, we are actually. But there's a growing number of BNP repositories, which all have their specific meaning. The BNP repo is the master one, where we have majority of our samples. But then, as an example, the NuGet package, the BNP core component, which is released as NuGet package, is its own repository. Or the PowerShells, Erwin has been leading that development. The PowerShells is in its own repository as well, because it just makes sense to relocate or do development and operate and do planning and issue tracking based on that particular topic. So it has an own repository there. We do have a docs.com site, or docs.com/office-dev-bnp. There's like 60 to 70 presentations, like all of these webcast presentations are available for their download and reuse any way you want. And one of the things what we are really proud of, and I don't think people have truly understand the value of this one yet, is the BNP Partner Pack, which is kind of a starter kit for system integrators and ISVs and customers to learn what you can do within Office 365. How can you automate site provisioning with a specific template? How can you automate consistent branding across all of your sites? So really, really nice setup of functionalities which are ready to be installed within any tenant. Good. Moving on things. What do you get from BNP? So the key point, obviously, is the community of peers and experts. Sharing is caring. And that's actually one of the fundamental, personally, and one of the things when I'm super, super, let's say, happy. Having people like Erwin, who's on a call, who understands my thinking, and I understand Erwin's thinking, we can actually have a professional discussion on topics which some of the audience might not understand, or some of the people we work day-to-day basis might not actually understand. So we don't have to start from scratch and start explaining all of the technical details. Obviously, to be able to get to the community and understand what are we talking, we will absolutely help on the questions in the Yammer group as well. But it's great to have a community where people are working on the similar topics on a day-to-day basis. There's tons of code and useful libraries. There's the BMP core library as a NuGet package ready to go. There's BMP components, samples, solutions, provisioning engine, PowerShell. There's a lot of other stuff as well. We're going to cover some of that during today's session. And there's a common architectural patterns and guidance, and also webcasts, training material, and so on. So there's a lot of stuff out there available for you to consume. And really understanding what it actually means. Can I just download and start using this? Can I actually repackage this code and use it in my projects, which I'm delivering for my customers? Absolutely. Everything is free for reuse. If you see a fancy slide, if you see a fancy drawing, if you see a nice piece of code or solution, everything is free to reuse any way you want within your day-to-day work. And we do know that people are using a lot of our stuff as well, and that's really absolutely acceptable. That's actually our objective as well, because by using the same code and or at least the same patterns, we can more easily as a Microsoft also understand what different kind of implementations are out there when we are thinking on let's say the next generation of certain functionality. And all of the next generations on functionalities, we're always coming back on, well, what did the BNP actually mention on this one? Oh, that means that then the community, if the community has been following our guidance, they have to been doing X and Y and Z as an option. So therefore, we'll take that into consideration in the implementation. So really important thing and a nice thing to do. How to find BNP samples or guidance, dev.office.com resources, BNP samples and guidance. We do have a search engine. The picture is slightly old because we released a new UI in the dev.office.com quite recently, but the tooling is still there. If I need to have some guidance on branding, if I need to have some guidance on ECM, I have a question around, can I do a document document ID provider in the Office 365 or SharePoint Online. Actually, all of that information is available for you using that search tool.
So if a few slides ago, you showed a lot of links actually to information, but from my understanding, it's that dev.office.com would be the main entry point actually to find everything. Is that correct?
Yes, absolutely. So when we go to the BNP page, and we're going to show that one in a demo in a second, it has everything in one page. The page is though quite big, so you might actually get lost. So if you want to have a direct link on the docs.com or direct link on the videos, you can actually go to those locations directly as well.
Right.
But let's actually have a look on that one. That's a good point. So let's actually check how to find what's relevant for you in the BNP and what is the location in the dev.office.com. So let me actually open up my browser, and here we go. So let's actually do this. I'm actually already in the site, so I'm going to close that one. And there's two ways of getting there. So there's the AKMS address, AKMS Office Dev BNP, which is one way of doing that. So you can easily get to the right location. You will get to that one landing page, or we can go dev.office.com/bnp. That works as well. Both are working and landing on exactly the same page. If you go to the dev.office.com directly, you'll land on the location where you can find a lot of stuff and guidance and links and resources on different kind of customization options for Office Client, for SharePoint, for Graph, and all of that. And in here, if we go to the resources and patterns and practices, this is exactly the page where you will land, either using the dev.office.com/bnp address or the AKMS address. And within this page, we have a code examples link and a guidance link. I'm going to show those one in a second. But if you scroll down, we're explaining what the initiative is all about, where's the Yammer group, how to contribute or get started, what is the monthly release is. There's the latest news, recent samples, monthly updates, videos, and all of that stuff available within the page. There's a lot of stuff on the page, so we do absolutely understand that it might be difficult to access or read all of this material. And we're looking into having splitting this one to multiple pages sooner or later, whenever we have time to redesign the model. But anyway, this is the right landing page to go. And if I now go to code samples in here, we will land in our code sample search tool. And let's say that I want to have, for example, information around something related on ECM. So I can use either this search tool. I can write something like branding if my keyboard would be working properly. There we go. Branding, or I could do ECM, and it's filtering down all the time the information. So we do have guidance. We do have samples in here. The alternative is also that you're able to do filtering based on I want to do samples on ECM or I want to do guidance on ECM. And that's going to change then the guidance and the links on the right side. Or I can say that I'm interested on SharePoint add-ins and I'm interested on language in C sharp, and that's going to filter down some of the functionalities. So there's a lot of different filters which you can use to find what's relevant for you. And then as an example, let's actually clear those. On the ECM side, document library template samples, upload large file sample to SharePoint, typical things what you might need to solve in the ECM or enterprise content management document side. Information management sample, creating a document sets using CSM and so on, recommends management extension sample. So quite a lot of information and guidance. Some of it is guidance and written stuff. Some of it is actual samples, which you can download and start running from there. And just out of curiosity, top view, it's customized your SharePoint site UI using SharePoint JavaScript and provisioning. And it's pretty much as expected. There's a nice set of also a series of SharePoint add-in recipes. So as an example, if you need to deploy your site columns and content types using SharePoint add-in techniques, there's a guidance in a GitHub or in MSDN, which is then explaining what are the steps to do that, what are the options to do that, how would I actually do that, and linking on all of the resources and samples within the PNP. So that's extremely helpful for finding what's relevant for you. But when you're looking into, let's say, how would I provision my sites using add-in techniques, or what's the master page story when you're using a want to convert your farm solutions to the SharePoint add-in. Good. Moving back on the slides. Other stuff. We mentioned this one already in that one slider of resources. So we do have BNP webcasts. These are weekly. We will most likely still continue doing weekly webcasts. We've been discussing internally that to switch on bi-weekly process, but the weekly webcasts, so we have a lot of ideas on the webcasts, and they seem to be relatively popular as well. If you go AKMS Office Dev BNP videos, you will land directly to the Channel 9 section or on that welcome page in the dev.office.com. On the document side, or I would say more presentations, so if you go docs.com/officedevbnp, there's a lot of existing presentations. And for example, BNP graphics presentation, which contains more than 100 different slides and drawings for reuse. And so there are concept clarifications in the logical designs, which we've been using in our own presentations, collected into one presentation.
So all those presentations there, I can just download and copy and use and rebuild and pick and match my slides from, etc.?
Yes, like absolutely. And the BNP graphics presentation is a good example. It has those individual slides, hundreds of slides. When we released that one, there was multiple persons sending me feedback that, oh, this is brilliant, because I don't need to prepare any more new slides for my seminar presentations. I can actually just go to this deck and take what's needed and build my presentation on top of it.
Right.
So everything is free for reuse. Any way you want, you can use individual small bits and pieces of the graphics, or you can use the slides, or you can redeliver the presentations any way you want to do. So no limitations and no need to ask permissions on anything. So just have fun with the material. What else? This is actually pretty interesting as well. So this is now, well, some of it is actually half a year old. Some of it is slightly, well, close to a year old as well. So we did record this adding model transformation training package, which is essentially explaining how to do transformation from the farm solutions to the adding model techniques. To be fair, this is not just about that topic. So the training actually explains a lot about how do you implement certain functionality using the adding model. So even though you wouldn't be transforming, you would actually implement your customization to the SharePoint Online, and you need to, let's say, consider branding elements. How do I do branding in a SharePoint Online in a recommended way? There's a video, there's a presentation, there's a hands-on lab, there's a demos available for you to watch or reuse any way you want within your deployments. So there's the 10 modules. All of them are covering different topics from an adding model perspective. And actually, it's the module 10, which is really truly concentrating on the transformation guidance. The other modules are concentrating more on, well, you used to do, let's say, for example, you used to do UI widgets using server-side web controls. What is the solution for that in a SharePoint Online in the adding model implementation? So it's really not about transforming that web control. It's more around how would I implement the same end user experience using adding model techniques. And all for reuse. One of the things what I always want to remember to mention around this one, if you want to rebuild this one as the training which you want to deliver internally within your company, or you want to build a training package to deliver this locally within your country or region, absolutely fine as well. You can use the material any way you want, again, and repackage that in any format you want to do. HTTP AKMS Office Dev BMP Resources is essentially the one slider which you saw, and that has all of the links. And then how do I actually follow what's happening in BMP? And this is a relatively typical question what we're getting as well. There's so much stuff happening, and we are pretty proud of being such pretty active and productive on releasing stuff. But the Yammer is our main communication channel. If you have any questions around the sample solution, this presentation, those presentations, go to the Yammer group and ask questions. You can CC any of the core team members like Irvin, me, Bert, Paolo, Frank, or whoever, and we'll follow up on your questions. We do have a bi-weekly office hours, which is a new thing. We started that pretty recently, but bi-weekly we are having a call where you can join in. We'll briefly explain what I'll be doing as a core team, but then after that, it's an open mic option. So if you have technical issues, you want to give feedback using audio, or you have massive critical thing which we need to get solved immediately, just join on that bi-weekly call and we'll help you during that call. That's really the objective of that bi-weekly office hours. We don't have a strict agenda, and we want to have a open discussion around where we are heading and where you might be able to help us, or if you have issues, how we can help you. And then we have those monthly community calls every second Tuesday on every single month, where we actually go through what has happened in a previous month. We'll go through the monthly release details, because the BNP code is being released month in monthly basis, and all of that. And then obviously demos on what was included in the release.
I think it's also important to maybe to mention that is that you're not required to be interactive in those calls. You can actually just, you know, connect and listen in.
Excellent point. Absolutely. Absolutely a valid option. So you can just jump in and hear what people are doing and jump out when needed. This is a volunteer-based, community-based initiative. And we absolutely understand that people cannot commit on being on every single call, or they cannot commit on delivering certain things on certain time. But we want to make the opportunity for everybody to find the right forum to ask assistance or to be able to have a discussion with the other people who have been active within the team or within the initiative. Really the fundamental piece, or one of the main objectives of BNP, is really to simplify and ease up development. So we are using providing reusable components and solutions which are open source and they're available in a GitHub. or available as a NuGet packages or whatever the release channel is for that particular component. And the really the thinking point, thinking around this one is that if we build these together, as an example, the people picker for provider hosted add-ins, if we find a bug, we can fix that, and every single deployment can actually take advantage of that fix as well. Or in the case of the BMP core component, we're providing quite a significant amount of functionalities and quite a significant amount of add-ons on top of the CSAM to increase the productivity of developers. And we have the BMP PowerShell, which is growing interest extremely fast. It's probably the easiest way to maintain your SharePoint Online deployment or SharePoint on-premises as well, because it actually supports both. The BMP Python Pack, that was the starter kit for the ISVs and customers to start understanding how to achieve certain functionalities within a SharePoint Online. BMP JavaScript Core, and this is something which has been started right now pretty recently. So we're working on creating a SharePoint library which is targeted for JavaScript so that people can more easily and efficiently take advantage of the client-side development. There's the UI responsive package for SharePoint on-premises, which works in the SharePoint Online as well. And there's quite a significant amount of other components and solutions. But to be able to understand what these are all about, so let's actually have a quick look on the core components and what does it actually do. And the main objective of this one is simplify CSAM operations with community tooling. So I'm going to switch to Visual Studio. So let's actually start by creating a new project. Let's call this something like BNP console demo. And I'm going to create that one as a console application. The key point to understand that this works within any managed code. I'm just going to use a console application for simplicity perspective. So provider hosted add-ins, Windows forms, whatever the core component would be fully functional. So I'm creating that project, a console application, and don't get fooled. This is Visual Studio 2015. I'm just aligning on the Visual Studio code layout. Just refreshes, and it's a refreshing UI for me as well, now that the solution package is on the left side. How do we get actually started? So let's add a NuGet reference. So manage NuGet packages, right-clicking the project and clicking that one. And then we can actually search NuGet packages from the NuGet gallery. And the key point of the NuGet packages is that you no longer, like old school way of doing development was that you installed an SDK, the SDK installed stuff to your global assembly GAG, and then you reference that stuff. And that's not needed when we are developing with NuGet packages. Most likely majority of people listening are aware of this, but it's good to go through the basics. So if I'm gonna search Office Dev BNP, here we go. We are seeing Office Dev BNP Core 16 and Office Dev BNP Core 15. The 15 is for on-premises, 16 is for SharePoint Online for the time being, like it actually says in the description. So 16 for SharePoint Online, Core CSM extension methods for SharePoint App Model Development against SharePoint 2013. We have released SharePoint 2016 already to on-premises, although it RTM'd. The CSAM package or the core component targeting for SharePoint 2016 will be added as part of the deliverables in the BMP team as well. For the time being, if you're doing development against SharePoint 2016, you should be using the BMP Core 15 for your operations. And why is that? Because there's API differences within a SharePoint Online and within the on-premises. So if you would be using the 16 version against on-premises, you might be hitting some APIs which are not exposed within a SharePoint 2016 or SharePoint 2013. And that would cause an exceptions within your code. Good. So let's install the 16 version. And what's going to happen is that it's going to pull down the components or assemblies directly from the internet, from the NuGet gallery. And it's going to install them as a local package within a Visual Studio. So they're going to be then compiled to the bin folder, and they will be available from there. They're not installed to the global assembly GAG, which means that you can more easily also maintain multiple versions and all of that. The BMP core component has quite a lot of actually dependencies, and all of these are coming actually automatically as a reference to the NuGet package. So what I need to do is accept the license, And all of those dependencies are actually added to the solution. And we can see that happening live on the left side as well. So our references are being updated. There's some additional script elements which are being executed. And our Visual Studio project structure is being adjusted based on, well, by adding the NuGet reference in. And we can also see that right now it's, for example, installing the Microsoft SharePoint Online CSAM, and so that's the client-side object model for SharePoint Online. And that's then adding, for example, the Microsoft SharePoint client and all of these basic assemblies which needs to be included when you're doing development against SharePoint Online.
So that also means that you always get the latest version of the client SDK, the CSAM SDK, by
yes.
using our NuGet package.
Absolutely, absolutely. And also the same applies for on-premises as well. So you'll get the right version of the CSAM matching for the on-premises with as part of the on-premises package. Good. So in the references, we can see that quite a lot of stuff actually got added on the project, but we don't need to go and add those manually one by one. We are actually ready to go. So we can actually start development against SharePoint Online immediately. So let me do a quick snippet. So I'm going to just do a quick snippet and I'm going to build. Come on. There we go. My PMP console main. And that's not actually the one what I was looking for. This is what you get when you do live demos. There we go, SPO context. So what I have here is just a few lines of code which are essentially needed to get connected on SharePoint Online. So we're asking the password, we're asking the user ID, or the user ID is written in my code because this is, well, my snippet. And then it actually is using the client context and secure string and SharePoint Online credentials to get access on SharePoint Online. So let's actually solve this. We're missing using statements. So let's actually update those using statements to be available. And we need to update that one to be available as well. And after that, we are pretty much ready to go. I'm going to update the URL. Let's actually adjust that slightly. And then it's a matter of us doing something within the CSAM. So I'm going to actually slightly zoom this smaller so I can actually show how things are actually working. Now, since we have added the core component as a reference, it's actually adding a lot of additional methods. So there are additional methods and extensions which are then available from a list object, tenant object, web objects, and so on. So you can much more easily take do development against SharePoint Online by using these extension methods like activate feature, add administrators, add content type to a list by a name, add a custom action, and all of that. These are not natively within a CSAM, they're part of the extension methods which are coming from the NuGet package. So as an example, let's do something relatively simple. So I'm going to copy stuff from my secondary screen. Let's create a new content type. How we would typically create a new content type is that you would have to actually write quite a lot of code to create the content type definitions and the new content type. What's the object for that, Erwin? I'm missing the right term. Well, there's a lot of objects and settings.
It's the content type creation information.
Content type creation information, yes, correct.
Yeah.
Which I would have to actually have to get updated. So let's create, when we're using the PMP and core component, we can make this happen much faster. It's a one line of code, and this will create us a content type called PMP doc. It is asking what is the content type ID, there's our ID, and there's the groove where we want to actually put that content ID. Let's actually also create a creation of a one document library, and that would be then the list creation information object, and it would have to do again quite a lot of stuff and writing that in code. Using the PMP core component, it's a one line, and I can also control additional settings like enable content types is set to true in this case. We are creating a document library called PMP documents. And then let's actually do one more thing because we did create that content type. So if we want to add a content type to a list, it's a one line of code again.
I'm essentially saying content type with the name of BNP doc, let's add that one to the list. And the true parameter is essentially that let's add that content type as a default content type to that library. Now, that's three lines of code when we're using core component from BNP. In real life, that would be, well, 40 to 50 lines of code, somewhere around that.
It's quite a time saver.
It's quite a time saver, no doubt, absolutely. So let's actually put a breakpoint there. Let's make sure that everything is working. Let's quickly have a look on our current site. So what do we have here? This is our site, but we're gonna actually use vesa.sharepoint.com/sites/team. We do not have any custom document libraries. It's out of the box team site by default. So let's go back in here. I'm gonna start debugging. And it's going to hit that breakpoint relatively fast whenever it first compiles first time. And we are hitting the breakpoint. There we go. So the console application is running. I do have my password coming actually from a environmental variable, so I don't need to show that and write that anywhere. It's just a one piece of code what I personally use quite often, so I don't need to expose my password or write that down. It's coming from the environmental variables in here. If I scroll down, let's go this code step by step. So we want to create a content type called BNP doc with that ID to BNP group. When we execute that line of code, it is actually already executing that creation directly to the SharePoint Online. So one line, again, content type has been created.
When I look at this code, I if you're like a traditional, if you want to call it like that, traditional CSAM developer, you have to do these execute queries all the time, but you don't write them here.
True. Yes, the execute queries are not here. And there's actually a reason for it as well, which is slightly debatable. So what we're doing within those methods is that we are actually doing the execute query retry automatically. So and that will take care of the throttling, possible throttling events in the SharePoint Online automatically. And one of the reasons why we need to do that quite often automatically within the method call is that the methods might be much more complex than just creating one item or one object. And so we need to make sure that we are doing the steps one by one. So for example, adding a web part to a web page is actually a one method call. But then how do we add a web part actually using the native CSAM is multiple elements, and we need to execute the queries in between.
Right. So that's good to keep in mind when you write your own code, that there are actually execute queries happening in these methods.
Yes, and some of the methods are pretty chatty, let's put it this way. But they are making the development much more easier. So let's create the list as well. And at this point, we can quickly go and have a look on the list and update the library. We can see that we have a list created in the site. There's our BNP documents. But the BNP documents is still having only the out-of-the-box content types available. So let's go back on the code and write that or execute the final line of code, which is add content type to a list, and let's add that BNP doc as the default content type. And there we go, executed. Our code is executed, so we can shut down Visual Studio. If we go back on the browser, let's update the document library. It's BNP documents, like mentioned, and in the new, we're able to see that the BNP doc is actually available there as a default entry. And voila, three lines of code, and we've done pretty significant amount of operations and automated stuff. There's a lot of other methods, there's a lot of other capabilities within the NuGet package, but for the sake of the length of the presentation or the webcast, we're not going to cover all of them. There's multiple other sessions where we're, for example, covering the BNP provisioning engine or the remote provisioning framework and all of that. So we intentionally wanted to keep this as simple as possible. Other stuff, so the BNP PowerShell. This is actually Irvin's own baby. Well, obviously there has been a lot of contributions from the other people as well, and it feels bad for me to do the demo as well, but it's intimidating that Irvin is watching what I'm actually doing within the PowerShell relatively soon. But if you think about an old school PowerShell code, in this case what we're doing is that we're creating a new field to a list which we're creating as well. So we're creating a list and we're adding a custom field to the list. That's actually quite a lot of PowerShell. And if we have a look on what's actually happening there, we are executing essentially the CSUM directly within the PowerShell. And writing all of these might be relatively complex. If you take advantage of the PMP PowerShell commandlets, the same implementation looks much more simplified. So obviously we are connecting the SharePoint Online to the site where we want to go, but then it's a matter of creating that demo list and then matter of creating a field to that demo list which already exists. So two PowerShell commandlets. So this absolutely increases the productivity of the PowerShell development enormously as well. And in this,
Yeah, I was just trying to explain that the way these PowerShell commandlets work, they are written in C Sharp, and behind the scenes, they actually use the core library.
Yes. So yes.
That's the whole idea behind it.
Yeah. So you will take advantage of the same extension methods which are in the core library, even though you're writing a PowerShell script. You don't have to write managed code to take advantage of this. And you can automate a lot of stuff in the SharePoint Online or in on-premises using this tooling as well. So let's actually have a look on that one as well. And this is pretty intimidating now that Irvin is watching what I'm actually doing.
I'm sure you'll do fine.
Yes. So let's actually do something. So a quick demo on this one. So we want to connect to that site which we actually created that library already. So let's connect to SharePoint Online. There we go. So let's do connect SharePoint Online, and I'm going to do a URL. There we go. Just making sure that I'm writing that properly. Always when you're doing demos, your keyboard starts messing.
Starts, yeah, exactly. It still did. Yeah. There we go.
So let's do sites. Come on. It's missing some of my key pressing. And the address was team. So what I'm doing here is that I'm connecting on that site. And what that means is that it didn't ask my permissions. It didn't ask my credentials. And that's because the PowerShell, the PMP PowerShell, does support connecting to the sites using a credential manager as the storage of the credentials, what you want to actually use. Alternatively, you could actually request the signing against that site as part of the script as well.
Yeah, just to point out also, in your previous demo, the console application, you were using an environment variable for your password.
True.
That is a way of doing it. But actually, in the PNP core library, we have our helper class that allows you to communicate with the credential manager of Windows and retrieve the credentials from the credential manager, just like the PowerShell commandlets are doing, actually.
Yep.
So you can store those credentials in the credential manager and use them in your code. And so you're not depending on an environment variable.
And what we have now essentially is that this PowerShell session has a connection to that particular site. So then it's just a matter of what are we actually going to do. So let's do something relatively simple. So let's call this CTX. That's my context. And I can do get SBO context. There's quite a lot of, let's actually do
it. A lot of start with an A there.
Yes, exactly. There's my SharePoint context. And what we can do with this one is just quickly look what the context information is containing. So we can actually see that the URL is pointing to vesa.sharepoint.com/sites/theme, what is the server version, some additional things related on the versioning and all of that. So let's clear that quickly. If I'm gonna do a CTX web, which is the web object in the CTX, and it helps if I start with a, here we go. We can actually see that the web object is empty. And that's because we haven't loaded this data. So it's the same capabilities as within CSAM. We need to explicitly tell the PowerShell commandlets that, okay, we want to access the web information. Let's query that web information. So let's actually do that. So CTX load. And what I want to load is the CTX web. I'm telling that I'm interested of loading that. Now there's two options of doing this. So I can actually do CTX execute query, which is one option. I could do also actually query retry. Oh, I can because I don't have the session reference, but I can do the execute query, which will actually load that information, or I can write this in a more PowerShell way, like Irvin pointed me out earlier today. On SPO query, and that means that the query which is in the queue to be get executed is actually now executed. So now I can go back and load CTX web, and we can actually see that the web object has the information. That's the URL, that's the ID, and all of that, and the title of the site is the. So relatively simple operation. So now if we want to actually do something against the site, we can do something relatively simple. So let's do a new SPO list, not group, and let's actually create example, BNP webcast, let's call that. And I want to use a template, which is a document library, and let's give it a URL, so it will be created to the right location. So let's call that BNP webcast. And there we go, executing that PowerShell. We are actually creating that list within the site. So now if I quickly go to the site and refresh the UI, where's my site? There we go. If we go back on the site contents and refresh the UI, we're able to see that it actually has that new list already available. There's my BNP webcast, and then I could further enhance or modify that list, add columns, add whatever, using the PowerShell commands. And again, for the sake of timing, let's not actually extend this too much or additional things. We were able to execute and create the list on the site.
And there's a separate webcast for the PowerShell commandlets too, so
Anything else you want to add related on PowerShell, Irvin?
No. I mean, the thing is, if you want to, you can. Yes, I should have answered because there's one thing I want to add. if you want to, you can write almost like CSAM style code without in PowerShell, like you just did with loading the web. But for the majority of the CSAM methods, we have a corresponding PowerShell commandlet. So, for instance, loading the web as you did right now, you could also just enter get-spo-web, would have returned the same object. That one, yeah. And you get the object. Basically, what happens behind the scenes is that it loads the web, executes the query, and then returns that web object. Yeah. So it's the same idea, basically. So you can go for two routes, and some of them, sometimes you will have to go for the CSAM way of doing things because we don't expose it in a commandlet, and sometimes there's just a simple commandlet available.
Which is pretty much what happens with the native SharePoint Online PowerShells as well, which is actually a good discussion point. Why do we have our own PowerShell commandlets in the BNP? Because there is the native SharePoint Online PowerShells as well.
Yeah. Well, those are more focused on administrative tasks. They're more focused on like creating sites, adding users, creating groups, etc. Where the PNP commandlets are more focused on doing things with artifacts in sites. So creating content types, lists, fields, views, removing lists, creating event receivers, that kind of thing. Yeah. So they're complementary.
Yes, exactly. This is not competing against SharePoint Online PowerShell. This is complementary and adding additional capabilities on top of it. And you can use and mix and match, obviously, this as well. Technically, well, you can use the BNP PowerShell only. You do not have to have the SharePoint Online tenant administrator PowerShells installed as well.
No. And the most common one. Like just creating a site collection and that kind of stuff, they are available also in the PNP commandlets.
Yeah. And already right now we have more than 140 available commandlets. We're not actually growing this number that fast anymore because we're getting in a pretty complete status, right?
Yep.
So there's no need of adding additional things. If you have a quick look on the list of commandlets, it's adding fields, content types, folders, files, uploading stuff, getting provisioning new sites using the templates, taxonomy items. There's a lot of stuff available already there. And obviously, we are highly interested. If something is missing, please give us feedback, and we can add additional capabilities in the future as well.
Yep.
So one of the last thing what I wanted to quickly pinpoint is the BNP Partner Pack. Obviously, there is a separate session around this one as a webcast, so we're not going to deep dive on this one. But what the BNP Partner Pack is giving is a Office 365 application, which you can install to any Office 365 tenant, which is providing then a self-service site collection provisioning techniques. And also, it is providing, for example, save site as a template capabilities, not using the native save site as a template capability, the site templates. And that's because the site templates do not work that well in a life cycle of the tenant and life cycle of management of SharePoint. The site provisioning templates, they are based on the BNP engine implementation, and they are, how would I say, future-proof for the sake of the model and the way the sites are being provisioned based on that template.
So we don't create a WSP packets, which was the traditional way of working. Yes. If you do save sites template.
And then it creates the self-service site collection creation, but also the self-service sub-site creation using this new templating engine. This is then demonstrating additional capabilities. It actually also includes a responsive UI for SharePoint Online. There's a lot of individual functionalities. There's actually even Covenants timer jobs included in the BNP Partner Pack, showing how you can automate, for example, let's say weekly or daily checkups on the existing sites using the Azure websites. So it's a kind of a starter kit for projects. You can download that, use it as such. You can download that, use a piece and pieces out of it, or use it as a learning exercise for your deployment or your customizations. Moving on things, one of the typical questions is supportability with patterns and practices. And this is a one slider which we want to quickly go through to explain what's actually supported within the BNP, or what's the supportability story of OfficeDev BNP. So the BNP guidance and samples are created by Microsoft and the community. So these are stuff which we do together. It is maintained by Microsoft and the community as well. We're somehow magically missing the community from the second bullet point, because obviously the community is submitting pull requests on the existing guidance and samples as well. BNP uses supported and recommended techniques. So anything what we have in the BNP is supported from a technical perspective. And it is a there's multiple different techniques shown, and typically within our documentation we're always explaining what is the recommended option for example branding customizations. BNP implementations are reviewed and approved by engineering, so everything what is getting submitted is actually reviewed by SharePoint Online engineering. Well, I do work in a SharePoint Online engineering as well, and I do know the limitations and what we want to have included in BNP and whatnot. And there's other people involved as well. BNP is an open source program, so all of the code is available, but that has then some implications as well. So right now the BNP is not, well, the BNP is not a product, and therefore it's not supported using Premier support or the official support channels. So technical wise, it is absolutely supported. Do we have a Premier support? Can you open a Premier support ticket for some sample which isn't working in the BNP? Answer is no. But there's also an exception on that. There are Premier support teams who are helping customers on using the BNP as well. So it slightly depends, but it's not really a product like, let's say, Windows. It's not really a product like Office. It's set of samples, set of solutions, components which people can use in an open source way. So it is supported in a similar way as other open source projects done by Microsoft, with the support from the community by the community. We are actually looking into small alternative changes on this one, because .NET framework is open source as well, but it's still supported. So we're internally in Microsoft, we're trying to figure out how do we evolve the supportability story in the PNP outside of this final bullet point as well. But hopefully that clarifies things. It's absolutely supported in a technical implementation. Can you get support from Premier support for individual samples? Answer is no. But can the Premier support engineers help you on making those samples work? Answer is yes, but it's not a product. So there are certain nuances on that messaging as well, which hopefully clarifies a bit the supportability story of PNP. Good. Final topic is how to contribute and get more closely involved. So why would I actually contribute? Obviously, all of the contributors who contribute anything on PMP will get visibility in our internal and external communications. We do monthly releases, monthly communications into dev.office.com, and we absolutely mention every single person who's been contributing on the PMP in the past month. It's really also around helping others on their journey, the recommended patterns. So at least personally, I'm getting, well, that's one of my personal things why I do PNP is that it makes me feel good to be able to help other people. We do hope that other people are thinking like that in their mind. Well, I know that Irvin does at least. Find peers who work similar topics and engage with customers and partners also using this channel. There's a lot of people working on these topics across the world. Having a shared community where we can share our learnings and evolve the learnings as well is highly beneficial for all of us. You can go to the Yammer, you can have a Yammer discussions. We have a monthly calls and those office hours and other engagement options as well. In a GitHub, you can report and fix issues. You can contribute with new samples, modifying existing samples, by modifying documentation or suggest changes within the documentations. Your submissions will be checked, and if it's fine, it gets merged to the PMP library. The Yammer and office hours is a great opportunity to have a discussion. I've been thinking about this technical solution. Is this the right one or should I do something else? And I do know that there's a lot of other people who will give their opinions on your implementation. This is kind of the final slide before closing on the what is the PNP session. So we do have kind of three different level of engaging. And we do have the PNP core team. Irvin is part of the core team. The core team itself will actually be a relatively small group of people who have the permissions to merge changes within the PMP library. And we can't really grow the core team to be too big because otherwise we can't control what's actually happening. For the sake of having an opportunity getting slightly more involved, we have started piloting the special interest groups option. And this is being right now piloted with a SharePoint client-side development. And with that one, we mean JavaScript development. And that's really a team of people who are meeting on a weekly basis, and they're building together this JavaScript library for SharePoint. So you're getting slightly more closely involved on the PMP. Then we do have the bi-weekly office hours where we will go through what is the core team actually doing, what are we planning to do, and also we are suggesting in areas where the community can help. Or you can join that call, open your mic and say, I've been thinking I would like to contribute following thing, would that be beneficial? And that's what the office hours is all about. And then we do have that monthly community calls, and those are pretty, I would say, one way. It's us telling what we have been doing, and then community members who've been contributing doing demos on those monthly calls. And that's typically on every first Friday of every single month, with a small exception because the 1st of April is Friday, but at April 2016, that was an exception. And on summertime, we're also having breaks. But typically, it's the first Friday of every single month when the master merge will happen. And then the second Tuesday of every single month, we will have a monthly community call to go through the latest changes within the PMP initiative. A lot of talking. I think that's it.
I think it's also... Yeah, a thing I want to add maybe is that it is that if you're not a developer but you want to contribute, you're more than welcome to, because there's areas where there are non-development areas, so to say, like guidance on how to do things, or you come up with a brilliant idea to how to approach a certain problem without actually writing a single line of code. Yes. So those contributions absolutely have a place in the PNP initiative too.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. That's absolutely a great point. It's not really just contributing by submitting code or changes on an existing code base. It's also suggesting ideas. If you have a great idea what we should be doing, that's already a great contribution. And we can have a discussion in Yammer. If you have time to do documentation on the existing stuff or share your learnings on other stuff, that's a great contribution as well. It's a brilliant, brilliant additional point to earn.
Yep. And another point I want to bring up is that for many people still, Git and GitHub is a new thing, and it might be scary the first time you see it. There's a lot of new terminology that you're run into, and forking and branching and etc. But we actually have in our wiki, in the PNP wiki, a page describing how to get up and running. Step by step, do this, do that, do this, do that, and so that you get the code base on your local machine, you can start contributing, and also how to create something that we call a pull request, etc. It's all described in the wiki page.
Yep, absolutely. And we do have a webcast actually explaining and showing that setup in practice as well. So we'll reference that in this video recording as well, so people can actually find that. So, yep. But it is GitHub might sound scary when you start approaching it, but it's not actually that difficult thing to learn. So
no.
Excellent. Thank you for your time, Erwin. A long webcast, I do know. We went through a lot of stuff, quick demos on certain things, but it was really around how to get started with PNP. And the answer is, well, it depends. It depends on how do you contribute, or are you planning to contribute, or are you planning to consume? What areas you want to consume? What are you want to consume in code, patterns, practices, presentations, or videos? And everything is out there for you to consume, well, access any way you want. So hopefully we were able to explain what the PNP is all about and the different options successfully. But thanks for listening, and we'll come up with a slightly more technical webcasts in the future. This is a small, lower, lightweight webcast from that perspective. But thank you, and thank you, Erwin. We'll be absolutely in touch.
Thank you.